prayer this morning. And actually, now that I think about it, before I pray, as I'm trying to adjust this thing, Dick Price called me yesterday and is seeking prayer, and I didn't get it out on the prayer chain yet, but we'll have that out today. He is doing fine, and I'm telling you that so that when I tell you what happened, you won't freak out. He was working on his roof. He's replacing his roof, and he fell off his roof. He broke his heel. I felt bad because when I was talking to him, I was almost overjoyed, not because he's struggling with that. You know, he's got to have it looked at. He's going to have to stay off of it for 3 months. But when you fall off your roof and they check everything out and the only injury you have is your heel, praise the Lord. So, and Shannon didn't hear me talking to him, when I talked to him, I said, well, I need to know what you want to put out because I need to make sure everyone knows you're alive. And he kind of laughed and everything. But so we do want to pray for him because that's tough for him to stay down, not be able to get up and down because for 3 months. So on one hand, pray for healing. He's really struggling just laying in his bed and everything. But at the same time, I want to say praise God that it wasn't a worse injury because that can be pretty gruesome. So we want to be praying for Dick Price this morning. So let's gather together in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for all the prayer requests the ability to bring our prayer requests to you, Lord. We ask that you be with each one who's struggling. We have so many struggling now. So Lord, we do continue to pray for them. And Lord, we do ask for continued healing for Dick as he is recovering from his injury. And Lord, we are thankful that it wasn't more serious. Lord, this morning, as we open up your word, help us to see your truth. Help us to learn the facts and information, as well as the transforming ideas that you have in your word. Lord, each week, we always know it's not about our opinions or our words, but what you have to say. And Lord, we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our study in in the Gospel of Luke, and we are still in Luke chapter 11. Last week we covered the Lord's Prayer, and we will continue to discuss the ideals of prayer this morning. And I think, and I mentioned this last week, but I think prayer is such an interesting subject because I think it is subject to misinterpretation. Last week I mentioned that we often use prayer for our own desires, for our own gratification. Sometimes we just expect a lot from God. I think that seems to be, especially in modern times, our prayer life is expectant. We want God to do what we want Him to do. So last week I mentioned that we need to understand that prayer, a big part of it, is transforming our own lives and our own hearts. That as we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to be cognizant of the fact that we are in need of Him, that we're in need of what He has for us. And as we look at the verses this morning that we're going to deal with, I want you to consider that in the back of your minds. What does God want? Not what do I want, not what do I think I need, but what does God say is important? What does God have for me? Where is God? What is God doing in my life, in my family's life, in the life of our church, in the life of believers? And so when we ask of Him, when we seek after Him, when we knock on the door in prayer, we need to be aware of the importance of receiving the answers that He has and not necessarily the answers that we want or are looking for. And so we're going to look at two principles this morning in prayer. Two principles as we ask of the Lord, as we seek after Him. First principle of prayer that I think is important this morning is that we pray with a persistent heart. We ought to pray with a persistent heart. I'm going to explain this a little bit here in a moment, because persistence doesn't always mean what we think it means. Sometimes we think persistence is, well, if I keep pestering God, he'll do what I want. That's not persistence at all, really. So let's look. Turn with me, if you haven't done so already, to Luke chapter 11. We're going to start by reading in verses 5 through 7. Remember the context, we just read the Lord's Prayer last week. Verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Why? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Keep your finger there, and we're going to cover this in a number of weeks, but I want you to listen as I read Luke 18, 1 through 5. Then he spoke a parable to them. Totally different parables, totally different situations, but the idea of persistence. Luke 18, 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Key phrase, not lose heart. Saying there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. When you look at these stories, when you look at these parables, as I mentioned, we often think, oh, that's what God wants us to do. Or we might think, some people think at least, God wants us to pester him. Or, as I mentioned, God will give me what I want if I just keep going and going and going and wear him down. Like a child who really wants something, a toy or something, or to do something. You know, I want to play a video game. And if I keep asking, maybe my parents will let me. I'm not saying that from experience, but that's not what's going on here at all. In Luke 18, it's an unjust person. In Luke chapter 11, and we're going to actually cover the second section in this passage here in a moment, but in later on, and under our next point, verse 13, it says, if you then being evil, so on and so forth, how much more does the Father do what he does? In these passages, there is a contrast of humanity and how they function, being evil, because we're all sinners, and God, who is good. The idea is, if someone in this earth will respond to persistence, though on the earth they respond because in their own sin, and I don't want to be pestered, how much more does God, who is holy and righteous, actually invite persistence? In Luke 18, he said, the parable says, so they don't lose heart. He's not saying that if you're persistent, you can wear me down. He's saying persistence is a good thing because it shows that you are not losing heart. Persistence shows faith. So, excuse me, in Luke chapter 11, excuse me, he says, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me these loaves. If we go to God as our friend, without persistence, We are going to God with expectancy and entitlement. If you go to God without persistence, you're basically telling God, I'm going to get up, I'm going to ask him because he's my friend for the three loaves. Hey, friend, I need these three loaves. I'm having somebody come over. I need to help him out. Aren't you going to give me some bread? In this parable, he says, well, don't trouble me. I got kids in bed. I'm not going to get up in the middle of the night and do this. And then the friend, what is he going to do? Well, if he truly has faith, if he truly believes that he needs that bread for his guests, he's going to keep going. He's going to be persistent. He's going to keep asking. Why? Because what he's asking for, he believes, is a good, selfless thing. I've got a friend coming over. I got to help him out. See, if we read this and we say, well, wait a second. Shouldn't the friend just give him the loaves? Shouldn't God just give us what we ask? As I said, that is expectancy and entitlement. We don't go to God with that mindset of expecting or even demanding that God just answers our prayers right away in the way we want them. He always answers prayer, but not always the way we want him. God, give me this thing. Well, if I'm not persistent, what I'm saying is, well, God, if you don't answer my prayer the way I want right now, I'm going elsewhere. And that's what people do. People will ask God of things. They'll seek after him for whatever their needs are. And if their prayers aren't answered right away in the way they want them to, then they try and figure out their own ways and their own paths of self-answering their prayers. Well, God didn't answer my prayer, so I guess I better take things in my own hands. He says, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. If you compare that to Luke chapter 18, so they don't lose heart, I believe what God is telling us in these passages is, have faith, don't lose heart, and continue in prayer. You may not get the answers you're looking for. You may not ever get the answers you want. But if you have faith, if you are trusting in God, if you are not losing heart, then your response, your right response, your biblical response is to keep going to him, knowing that he is the one with the correct answers. He is the only one with the answers. So the persistence isn't a try to weary God or to wear him down so you can get what you want, like an immature child. The persistence is a call to continue in faith, trusting that God is the one who knows what's best for you, and that your persistence becomes a demonstration that you are dependent on him. If you have an illness and you believe a doctor has the right answers, you're going to keep calling, right? You want to get into an appointment and they don't get you scheduled? You know what you do? You keep calling until you get in and get scheduled, right? Maybe you don't. Anytime I've had stuff, I call. If I want to get in, I call. And you know what? When you keep calling, a lot of times they'll get you in. Why? Because if you think, oh, they're going to help you, then you're going to go in. If you don't go in, then you don't feel like they're helpful. And sometimes, a lot of times, doctors aren't, right? Doctors don't know everything. But if you believe the doctor has the answers for your condition, you are going to persistently go to them. If you believe that eating healthy or natural medicine is the answer, you're going to continue to go down that path. You're not going to just say, well, it didn't work this time, so oh well. If you believe there is an answer to your problem, you are going to continually and persistently choose that path to deal with your specific need. But how often do we pray and we don't get the answer we want, and then we go, well, I guess I'll go this route. God didn't answer my prayer. You know what that says? We don't believe He's the answer to our need. So persistence is a demonstration of confidence that God is the answer to our needs. Persistence is the confident demonstration that we believe God is the answer to our need. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. In the last chapter of Colossians, Paul gives some closing words. Colossians and Ephesians, I said this when we studied Ephesians, are so similar. A lot of the same kind of material, which of course makes sense because Scripture repeats itself. Always makes me feel better because I repeat myself all the time. Well, I'm just following what Scripture does. Scripture repeats itself. The apostles repeat themselves. Jesus repeats himself to affirm very important teachings. And in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, actually verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, vigilant in it, thanksgiving, nonstop prayer, pray without ceasing, as Paul told the Thessalonians. Ephesians 6:18, also in his closing words, praying also with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Continued, persevering, vigilant prayer. So the application, we're going to actually do application after each point today. What's the application for this? Pray without ceasing. Pray with persistence. Pray with dependent confidence that God has the answers. If you don't pray, you don't have faith. Period. Period. If you don't pray persistently, you are lacking in faith, because faith is trust. None of us have faith down completely. None of us are perfect. We're all sinful. But if you don't pray persistently, you are demonstrating a lack of faith and trust. Because as I said multiple times, persistent prayer demonstrates that you are confident that God has the answers. Doesn't mean you don't do anything else in life. Go do what you need to do. Do practical applications. Go to doctors. Deal wisely with your resources. Take practical steps in your job place, workplace. But all the while, pray with persistence. Now, what's interesting is in Ephesians and Colossians, those passages that deal with praying with a persistent heart also open the door for us in understanding what Paul was praying for. What was he praying for? The saints. What was he praying for? To open the door for the gospel. What was he praying for? He was praying with our second point, a spiritual mind. We ought to pray with a persistent heart, but we also ought to pray with a spiritual mind. Folks, if you pray daily, persistently, for a Bentley, I think I mentioned the Bentley last week. Sorry, that's not a spiritual mind. It's not. Doesn't mean that God won't allow you to have a Bentley if He so chooses. But if that's where your mind is, it ain't spiritual. It's not. Pray with a spiritual mind. Pray persistently, but also spiritually. Look back at Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, okay, just after he spoke of persistence, he says, verse 9, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Put your finger there for a moment. And I want to read to you out of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. And I want you to pay close attention to the language. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It's going to sound exactly the same. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone asks, who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Same thing. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So many times, I have people who would listen to the TV preachers, who would read this, and people come to me and say, see, look, God will give you good things. And people will believe that it's all of the world's goods. But what people don't do all the time is they don't compare this with Luke chapter 11. Matthew says the Father will give good things to you, just like you as humans, evil, meaning you're sinful, give good things to your children. How much more will the Father give good things to his children? Luke 11 tells us what those good things are. Verse 13, Matthew says, how much more will your Father give good things? Verse 13 of Luke 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There are so many people who use those verses and say, God will give you good things in this earth and life because of Matthew chapter 7, and they don't compare it with Luke chapter 11. The good things aren't the goods of this world. The good things are what? The Holy Spirit. Luke 11 answers the meaning of Matthew chapter 7. It doesn't mean that we won't have the goods of this world. God allows us to have those to serve him. But if we don't read the Bible with a spiritual mind, if we don't pray with a spiritual mind, we start thinking too much about the stuff of this earth, and we forget the most important good gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit being indwelt, sealed by Him, made a part of the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit's work. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You can pray expecting, but you can only expect that which is truly good for you. Romans 8:28, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. And that which is good may not be what you think is good. James tells us you ask amiss. You ask with the wrong motives. Our persistent prayer needs to be of a spiritual mindset. And a spiritual mindset is modeled after what Paul was doing, praying for the saints, praying for open door for the gospel. I don't think it's wrong to pray for healing. It's good to pray for healing. But we need to be careful that we're not praying out of just a pure selfish mind, which we all do. But we've got to let God change us and mold us so that when we are praying for healing or things in this earth, that we're praying for the right heart attitude and the right mindset. Out of love for Him and love for others. It's possible that you could pray for resources. But when you pray for resources, you've got to go to the Lord and let Him shape you. Because a lot of times, most of the time, we pray for resources. It's really selfish. We convince ourselves it's not, but it's selfishness. But if we're praying for resources, let us do it so that we can serve Him and serve others. Because we see needs in the body of Christ and we want to be able to be used by God to meet those needs. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, Matthew 7, will the Heavenly Father give what is good to you? Luke 11, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Psalm 84 I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's short. Psalm 84, verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life, and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. O turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. And I skipped a page. Look at that. My Bible got caught up. But actually, it's kind of interesting that I was not going to read that, but my two pages stuck together. But it actually brings up an important point that I'll touch on here in a moment. And I had my marker in there. Isn't that funny? My marker was in there, but those two pages were stuck together. Maybe it was God, because He wanted me to touch on something in Psalm 86. Psalm 84, verse 3, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Verse 6 of 84, 4, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give hear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. When you read this passage, you find that as a psalm of the sons of Korah, the kind of the Old Testament worship leaders, if you will, there is a sense of an elevation of the dwelling place of God. God dwelt within the tabernacle and the temple of the Old Testament. Now he dwells within us as the temple of God where the Holy Spirit dwells. And these writers come together and recognize that the Lord is a hearer of prayers, and that no good thing is to be withheld. But it raises the question, what is a good thing? Here, the answer is to dwell within the Lord's place, the dwelling place of God, to be a follower of Him, to be a worshiper of Him, the temple, the tabernacle. In Luke chapter 11, he says the Holy Spirit will be given to those who ask. The good thing is to be a receiver of the Holy Spirit in being saved, to worship and to follow God. That is what is good. That is the most good thing. And what's funny is, and again, I had no plans of going to Psalm 86, except my pages got totally stuck together. Again, I don't know how that happened, but what's striking, as I was reading 86, and I was like, wait a second, did God change the verses around? Because this is not what I thought was said in 84. But I'm glad I did go to 86, because when in 86:11 it says, teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. In the Old Testament, the prayers of God's people, the prayers of David, are to dwell with Him for mercy and forgiveness, even in guidance. We walked through this in our Sunday school class about a year and a half ago. Guidance. We always talk about praying for guidance. What should I do? Should I go to this job or that job? That's not the point. When David prays for guidance, do you know what he always prays for in the Psalms? Righteousness and obedience. I remember leading a college Bible study, and this young lady was sweating over whether to take this job or go to school or all of those things, and she was asking for wisdom on how to pray for God's guidance. And I remember people were floored when we started studying, and I pointed out, we elevate praying for guidance and decision-making up here. You know what they did in the Bible days? You know what jobs they did? The jobs that were handed to them. So what? I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for wisdom in jobs and all that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we elevate that so much, and we forget that that's down here in Scripture. You know what's up here? Persistently praying for that which is good, righteousness, holiness, obedience, being a believer, meaning that, Lord, I want to follow you and trust in you. And the Lord promises, see, when you become a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells you because you become part of the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 says we are the temple. He's building a temple of the Holy Spirit. The up here prayers are, get saved. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I want to be saved. And then He forgives us. And we're sealed and we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that can't be taken away. And then we pray for holiness and we want to follow Him. And we, like Paul, persistently pray for the saints and for the gospel to be opened up. persistently praying for that which is good. When we pray for one another for healing and all these illnesses, we're not praying because selfishly we want to have more people in the church, right? We're praying because we love the body of Christ, correct? Those are good things. If I start praying for a Bentley, no. I'm just using that as a symbol, but you get what I mean. When you pray for needs, there's nothing wrong with praying for needs. But make sure when you pray for your needs, your physical needs, we read in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, I clothe the birds of the air. Father, clothe the birds of the air. Flowers of the field. He knows your needs. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of those. When we pray for the physical stuff of this life, we need to make sure that we're allowing God to move our hearts towards recognizing that the physical things of this life are in order to serve Him in the spiritual realm. Physical isn't bad. We don't want to get into some weird cults in the New Testament age that made it seem like matter was evil and that, you know, you need to take a vow of poverty to be righteous. No, none of that. I'm not saying any of that nonsense. Nothing wrong with having the goods of this world as long as those goods are used wisely for His kingdom, to spread the gospel, to serve the body of Christ, to help one another, and to be obedient in Him. If your car's broke down and you pray for it to be fixed, it's because you want to serve Him. Amen? And you want to serve others. It's not to be flashy. It's not to be all that. It's to serve the Lord. We pray with a persistent heart and we pray with a spiritual mind, recognizing that the things of this kingdom, of the kingdom of God, are the most important, and we put our energy, our health, our resources towards serving our families, serving others, serving God, so that His kingdom can be advanced, so that people can live in holiness and righteousness as they await the Lord's return. We use our health, our goods, our resources, our finances, our money, everything we have to serve God, to love God, and to serve others, to love others. And then when we go to the Lord in prayer, we let Him change us, mold us into His image, help us to grow day by day, so that we then confidently, persistently pray, trusting God that if He doesn't answer our prayers in the right way, we may have to make some adjustments in our own mindsets and our attitudes, and that's okay, because we know that every good thing comes from above. We know that it is the Lord who gives all that is good. We know that the Lord is the one who is changing us and molding us and growing us to have a more spiritual mind. And so then we are confidently willing to ask the question, what is good? And if God changes our mind on what is good, we receive that. And we submit to Him. Not easy. None of us do this well. But our first application was to persistently and continually pray. Our second application is to allow God, and you won't have this down until the Lord comes back. I won't have this down until the Lord comes back. But to allow God, as we pray with a spiritual mind, to teach us what is good. We, as American evangelical Christians, sometimes don't have the right understanding of what is good. We are all products of our culture, and I pick on American Christianity because we live in America. If we live in Turkey, I'd say we as Turkish Christians. And the only reason Turkey comes to mind is we were looking up the history of St. Nicholas, and I guess he was in the Byzantine Empire and a Turk. But Turkey then was different than it is now, so that's a whole other interesting thing. But anyways, so I pick on us because it's who I'm speaking to. We are all a product of our culture. And all of us, our Christianity is impacted by culture more than we realize and more than we care to admit. We as modern evangelical Christians, and we use the word evangelical in its true meaning, those who believe the gospel as the answer, even though it's taken some different connotations, but we are a product of our culture. We have developed certain expectations and understandings of what is good and what we can expect from God. And the application number two is to, as we pray with the persistence, to pray with a spiritual mind, meaning that to pray with a spiritual mind, we've got to let God change our minds. You're saved, but it doesn't mean you still don't need to do any repentance. You may have already gotten saved, and I believe you are in being sealed with the Holy Spirit. The book of Ephesians says our inheritance is guaranteed. I don't believe you can lose that salvation if you are truly saved. So you can't lose your salvation. But you still got to be repentant. You still got to grow. You've still got to move on an upward trajectory, letting God change how you think. Cast aside some of our traditions if our traditions aren't biblical. So we ask the question from the Bible, from the Lord, what is good? Individually, so as a church, how do we apply these things? We need to keep praying. We need to make prayer more a part of what we do. There's been attempts from time to time, you know, to do some prayer services and things like that. And it's funny, I've tried to institute some of those things in previous churches, and then you kind of get away from that. And we got to do a better job of just really emphasizing prayer. Christians struggle with that all the time. So corporately, how do we do that? Corporately, we need to be a people of prayer, just like we need to be as individuals. And corporately, we need to make sure we as a church are continually asking, what is good? What is good? What does God want from us as a church, as He has revealed to us in His Word? If there's anything we do in 2021 that's not good, then we change it. And we submit to His Word. Why? Because persistent spiritual prayer is a prayer of dependent confidence in Him, knowing that He has the answers and we don't. I'm not a huge fan of New Year's sermons because I feel like they're trite and cliche. But I am still going to address 2021. Each year becomes, I think, an opportunity. Naturally, in our minds, that's why we start things, New Year's resolutions, all those. It's just a mind game, mind trick. That's why people do it, but I think it works. Beginning of the year is a good time to start new habits, healthy habits, physical healthy habits, spiritual healthy habits, all those things. I think it's a good time to kind of just set a good tone, too. So as we look into this year, focus on prayer. If 2020 teaches us anything, it teaches us that we have no control. Anyone feel like they can control anything? I like to control things. I like to have control. I haven't been too successful in controlling anything. So start 2021 with this kind of dependent prayer, faith prayer, knowing that we still do the practical stuff. Prayer doesn't mean you throw your hands up and say, God, I'll just float along and let you carry me along. Jesus, take the wheel mindset. That's not faithful prayer. That's laziness. You still got to act. You still got to be responsible human beings. But we pray knowing that in the end, only God has the answers. 2021, pray a lot. And then I would say a big part of God answering you, if not the main way, is He speaks through His Word as the Holy Spirit prompts your heart and directs you. We always are looking for answers from God. God, tell me something. I think sometimes God is probably like, look how much I've told you. I found more often that the Holy Spirit does prompt me, but the Holy Spirit will lead me to His answers. You want to know what I have to tell you? Let me tell you what I've already told you 1,000 times. So get in God's Word, the Word of God and prayer. Those two things together transform your lives. I love the read through the Bible, not in a legalistic sense, but in a just practical sense. So I had Joy, our secretary, email out the read through the Bible in 2-year plans. I love the 2-year plan because 2 years is easier than one. And so those have not come to me yet. I've ordered those. I just didn't order them early enough. And the place where I order them they are on vacation. So they should come this week. But we did email them out, a digital copy. I have announced those every year since I've been here. Read through the Bible in 2 years. It's a little booklet. If you're interested, they will be out by next Sunday. Otherwise, you can get the digital copy, which was already emailed out to you if you use email. But I like this. It's read through the Bible in 2 years. You do the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once. So you cover the whole Old Testament in 2 years' time. And the New Testament, you read twice. And it's just it's an opportunity. Commit to persistent spiritual prayer and consistent reading of God's Word, and it will set a tone for you, I believe, is so, so important. Ask, seek, knock, and Bible says the door will be opened unto you. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the ability to read your Word and the ability to pray. Thank you that you promised to answer our prayers and you promised to bestow that which is good. Lord, we just sometimes don't know good when we see it. And so, Lord, help us to recognize that sometimes the things we think are good are really just not. They're just nonsense dressed up sometimes. But Lord, help us to see which is good and to persistently pray for that which is good, that which you've offered to us. Lord, we're thankful. Help us to have a year focused on you. Be with those who are struggling, Lord. We, in believing, it is good to pray for our fellow brothers and sisters in their time of need. Lord, we confidently, persistently, and lovingly pray for our fellow brothers and sisters who are struggling this morning. Be with them, strengthen them, encourage them, touch their hearts, Lord. All this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.